Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is The Burt Show.
Does our Burt Show listening family agree that destiny has laid down right in front of Abby?
Mm-hmm.
Her future is already paved. As one mom emailed us a couple of days ago, Kristen actually, and Abby, and said, "Hey, I'm not that mom, but I think my son would be perfect for you." Kristen read the email yesterday.
Yes. So this is a mom shooting her shot for her almost 25-year-old son. And it was very sweet. She actually sent me a follow-up email.
Did she get the endorsement of the 25-year-old son?
She did.
He was into it.
That was included in the email yesterday. So she obviously loves her son, and she's a big fan of Abby. And though they aren't each other's types,
he thinks I'm ugly.
No. That's what I read it as.
That was pre-nose job.
It was
completely different person.
Well, the videos are on our Facebook page, so he could look at those.
So while they aren't each other's types, she just feels like there's something like opposites attract that they would be a good couple. So I read this email yesterday, threw it out to Abby, and she's a trooper, and she was willing to let the Burt Show listeners decide if she should go on a date with this dude.
Was willing
she?
Is a...
I'm with them. No,
Abby
she wasn't.
Consent. She consented. Maybe she was forced into consenting, but she... No.
Consent at gunpoint.
No. But mom's followed up, and she says, "Hi, Kristen. I heard the show today. I totally understand Abby not being interested. I know this is strange. I don't blame her at all. I'm sure she gets countless messages and DMs. But hey, I figured if it was meant to be, then fate would work its magic." So now we're going to decide if fate has worked its magic.
Okay. So you have decided that. Now you're down with this. The way the listeners voted is the way you go.
Yep. That's what I signed up for.
If you're going to go out with dead dog guy.
I am fairly certain they're going to say yes here. Yeah. I have not seen
them. They just wanted to say yes.
It feels so anticlimactic. Like, all right, just say yes.
All right.
So,
what were the options, Cassie?
Your options. I kept it simple. Should Abby go on this date? Heck yes or no? Not worth it. And at 61% of the votes,
closer than I thought.
Me too.
Abby, I know you really like going on first dates. But prepare yourself to be disappointed because you are not going on this
date. Wow, what a relief.
I'm free! That's not fair.
What? I'm stunned.
I can't believe it.
There's no way.
I am fully stunned. All right. I think the amount of pressure that the listeners heard that was put on you, they empathized with you. And they might have been in that place when they were forced into a date by somebody else. And they're like, let's give her a break.
I'm surprised because usually listeners push us into like doing things and always go for the option that puts you out there. But they had your back on this one.
They have never empathized with me. You should feel special.
Real quick, we have a development.
Oh, God.
Katie has done some super sleuthing. Katie, go in the studio and stand next to Kristen. Katie looked up the listener, the mom, and we have a picture of two possible sons.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I want you to see what she's missing out on.
Katie, grab a mic here because Katie's not buying into this.
We're not putting this. This is a mom who listens. We're not putting her son's appearance on blast.
No, you don't have to.
What?
They're good looking. I want you to look at them and tell her what she's missing out on.
Have you seen these pictures yet?
No, I don't want her to see them. I want Kristen to see them.
Oh, yeah, he's cute.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Wait, let me see. I did some research.
Let me see it again.
Look, Kristen didn't want to do it. Look, let me see it again.
Oh, yeah, no. They have kind eyes. Uh-oh. They have great smiles.
Wow.
A nice jawline.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Tan, dark hair.
Wow.
Are they tall?
They're sitting down.
Okay.
She also said that he was 5'9".
That's right. She already, so.
Do you want to even see this picture?
Maybe I should watch. Or I should see it off air. What if I don't think it's fair. Cute? I don't want to be like, oh, and then he's gonna have terrible self esteem problems for the rest of his life because the girl on the radio rejected him.
Now, did you say that there were two sons?
Yes. Okay. So how I did my research here, right?
Can't even get to the bottom of it. I'm telling you, every time.
All right. So based off of the listener's name, I went to our Instagram page and searched our followers who had that name. And it was only one person who's following us with that name. So it has to be this woman.
Ding.
But her page on Instagram is private. So I had to go to Facebook, right? So then I found her on Facebook. It's the same profile picture as the one who's following us on The Bird Show. And she lives in our local city. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, it's the same woman. And then I go to the page and I see that she has two sons. And so she has a picture of both of her sons. And they're the age, they fit the description, everything. So that's how I found her.
You know how you wanted me to be the PI investigator? That's redundant. You know how you want me? the private investigator. You know how you want me to be a PI at the Bird Show?
Because you did such a great job earlier this week. You went online. You did the research. Yeah. We got the results.
Katie, we should do it together.
Oh, I'm down.
Katie and Kristen. PI.
Yes.
The PI eyes.
Private investigator. PI investigators. Katie and Kristen.
I love it.
Yes.
I absolutely love it. All right.
Job well done.
So off the air, you may or may not be looking at this picture is all we're saying.
There could be a plot twist. All I'm saying is after the break, I could change my mind.
Okay. All right. Let's get to this email here. This one has some legs. Sexual favors built her dream house, and now she's not feeling all that great about it. Well, what are you going to do at this point? Moe's got the email.
I am in my early 30s, recently divorced, and have been looking to buy a new house. I have been looking for 6 months and have recently gotten involved with my realtor on a more personal level. We began dating 2 months after we met and have had a very intense relationship ever since. While I haven't found the house yet, this is more my fault and not his. I'm quite picky, and he's been great to put up with me. I also know he has a great reputation as being a great negotiator. So, once I do find the house, I know he will get me a great deal. I also know he would try even harder for me than he would just any other client. However, here's my problem. I'm not really interested in him anymore, and I'm ready to end this personal relationship, but not the professional one. I know this sounds selfish, but I don't know if I should hang on with him just a little longer to get a better price on the house or end things now. I don't know how he will take it if I completely end the relationship. Would you keep seeing him until the house deals are done?
Okay, let's take this to you guys. 1-855-VIRTUAL. Abby, what would you do?
Oh, I 100% continue the relationship. And I do feel bad because I literally just talked to a friend about stringing people along in relationships and how it's so bad and you should never do it. However, I think when your bank account's involved, you gotta do what's best for you. Just, you know, maybe draw back a little bit. You know, don't progress things to a more serious level. Maybe just drop it. You want to keep things casual so that you can kind of lead him into the breakup.
Yeah, it's not like you're dragging along somebody that you've been in a relationship with years, right? So this is somebody she's been seeing for 2 months. I would just be concerned that it would make the it would make the working relationship so incredibly awkward. Mm-hmm. Like if you did end it, you'd have to get yourself a new realtor.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't see how he could, that would be too messy for me that I would have to like cut off all interaction and all communication because I think it would just be so hella awkward.
All right. Do I have this a little bit on the twisted side? He's the realtor, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay. So if she goes to him and says, look, you know what? Let's just be friends, right? I've really appreciated our time together, but let's be friends. This dude's got money on the line also. So he's going to get commission off of the house. So he might be just like, okay, that's fine. I'm still going to sell your house, right? And she'll be like, yeah, that's fine. He's got money on the line. He's not going anywhere.
I don't know if I would want to take that risk. I mean, I would hate to string somebody along if it was wrong, but if I'm in his position, I wouldn't put him in a position to where he would be mad at me or not willing to do all of the things that he would if he liked me, so I probably would carry
the relationship.
She's
not selling a house. She's buying a house, and she's hoping he gets her the best deal on the house possible.
But he gets commission based on that, right?
Yeah, but I've never understood this about realtors. Like, there's not a lot of incentive for them to try and get you a better deal on this house because they make less money the lower the cost of the house is. So if he's got some kind of bad feelings about you, he might not be that motivated to get you the deal that you want.
I wouldn't risk it.
I don't think I would risk it.
As bad as it is, as bad as it sounds, yeah, I'm going to keep that relationship floating to the end.
This is The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
50 Cent claims he's practicing abstinence for 2024. It's a different kind of dry January, at the very least. So he shared in an Instagram post yesterday that he revealed he's practicing abstinence. He said, "My new idea is so big. I don't have time to be distracted. I'm practicing abstinence. I've been meditating and focusing on my goals." And then he posted a photo of himself in a suit, smoking a cigar, and sipping on his award-winning brandy that we can assume. He hasn't shared anything about his big idea, whatever this is, but it must be big enough that he needs to really put all of his emotional and physical energy into it.
Cat. Yeah. I don't believe any part of it. I think that's all for promo. I mean, for one, he has a girlfriend who he's like deeply involved with now. And I never understood the whole point of being abstinent after you get into the relationship that you've been looking for. And two, when people announce, especially men, I believe this, when you announce that you're being abstinent, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why do you have to say to everyone who's listening, "I am off the table"? I just want all the women to know I'm not doing it. It almost feels like you're asking for attention for it to go the other way. Okay. I never believed that.
Hold, please, because this is a concept I'm not familiar with. Did you just say that you know people that are in relationships that have been doing it that all of a sudden say, "Okay, we're going to be abstinent together"?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Why?
I never got that. I've heard women like say, "I'm at that point in my life." Like, you meet the guy that you now actually believe you might marry.
So you're going to save yourself. So that's saving yourself from marriage tactic?
Right. Because you already got your your slut phase out the way.
But you already started it with him. And then when you decided that this is going to be the person you're going to marry, then you pulled that?
I've seen that.
Yeah.
What? I've absolutely seen that. Yes.
All right. I want to talk to you, unicorns.
I have a couple friends that could call in.
1-855-BIRD-SHOW. They started and then said, because this isn't the dudes usually. I'm guessing this is not the dude's idea.
I've always seen women do this. Yeah. I've never seen a guy do it.
1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
Isn't it like re-virginizing for the wedding or something like that?
Yeah. They just feel convicted that this is what you're supposed to do. So you just end up press and pause.
Re-virginizing?
Yes.
That's stupid.
That's how I feel. I've never got to the guy that you actually, because I've heard women say sometime with him, we're too connected. It's like, it's almost too much. So I want to make sure that he's going to stay around. It's going to work. So I want to stop.
Yeah. Re-virginization. It refers to a couple who's already engaged in premarital sex, but now they're going to abstain once they, like, for the wedding.
That makes no sense.
I don't respect this.
Nope. That makes no sense to me.
It makes no sense. And I think you can't label yourself a re-virgin if you've already done it.
No, you're not calling yourself a virgin. It's just that's re-virginization. That is the act of having been with your partner and then realizing, this is the man I'm going to marry. This is the woman I'm going to marry. We're engaged. You know what? We're just going to abstain until the wedding night.
Now
that way it's like we're virgins all over again.
There is a chance that I place too much value on this area in a relationship, and that's why it seems so ridiculous to me. But
emphasis on the...
On the what?
Oh, yeah. He did.
The second table. There was a heavy emphasis on that.
I just don't really understand the concept here, and Jennifer is here to spell it out. Hey, Jennifer, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
Good, are you?
Doing good. Are you doing this right now? You're re-virginizing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to judge you while you're on the show, but once you hang up, I'm totally going to go off. No, just kidding. So what was the reasoning? What's your thought process here?
It was for religious purposes.
Were you not religious before?
No, I was, but I always had that guilt.
Let's do a deep dive here. Okay, so you had guilt about being physical before you got married, right?
Right.
And you're engaged now or you're married now?
No, I'm just in a relationship.
You're in a relationship. You guys were doing it. And then you went to him and like, hey, this guilt is just too much for me. This is not going to be part of our relationship anymore.
Yeah, it was during a church service one day.
Right in the middle of the church service, you said to him, like, hey, I am really moved right here. I'd be so pissed at that pastor.
Oh, man. We're getting out of that church immediately.
I don't know what he said.
I would be like, we are not going to TGI Fridays after this. No, we're Sunday brunch.
Well, you're out of here.
So you literally, during the sermon, like, looked over at him and said, say again?
No, after. I was crying during the sermon, and then afterwards we had, like, a heart-to-heart conversation, and then,
On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most disappointed person in the world, where was he on the disappointment scale?
He was very understanding. As a guy, I expect him to be disappointed, but he was very understanding, and he hasn't really, like, pressured or anything.
Good.
Yeah, we're in a really healthy, good relationship, so it worked out, but it was a risk, for sure.
No, for sure, and I love that it's, you spoke your truth, and he's respecting it. How long has it been?
8 years.
Eight, what?
Huh?
What? Wait a second.
Hold,
I knew he's a saint.
Why don't you get married?
Oh, it's just, like, not at that point right now in my, like, career-wise, you know. So it's just, I don't feel a rush. Like, we both don't really feel a rush, but, you know, we're, like, slowly getting there.
I want to do the math on this. So you guys were having sex for how long before this terrible sermon?
A couple of months,
and now it's been 8 years, and you guys still haven't done it?
Correct.
Be honest, do you do everything but?
Well, in the beginning, it was hard for sure, but slowly it got to a point of just nothing.
8 years?
I can't believe this.
We're all stunned.
That is a good man.
A man like that does not exist. Like, he is a catch for sure. Like,
no, he deserves some.
Jennifer, wait, they're not doing that, Mo.
As a reward, you should give him that.
Seriously.
No, I mean, so Jennifer, will you please, because I feel like we are all very invested in your story now. When you guys do get engaged, will you please call us up and let us know?
Oh, my gosh. We're, like, waiting for, like, the honeymoon, like, you know, like, with the whole thing.
Jennifer, yeah. I want to keep your information. I am wholeheartedly serious. When you guys, it's been 8 years, when you get engaged, it doesn't matter when it is. Bert might not even be here anymore. It doesn't matter.
I won't be here. He's held out for 8 years.
I want you to call us up and be like, I'm the Jennifer that re-virginized. It's been 8 years since we did it. We are now engaged, and we will do a countdown to the honeymoon with you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Wow. I literally felt my parts down there tense up when she said 8 years.
I wasn't prepared. I thought she would, like, I was not prepared for that.
I'm gagged.
I wonder if they have pet names for each other, because she could call him Bluey.
And they had the Last Supper for real.
I did not know we were going to stumble on this. Hey, Stephanie, good morning. You're on The Bert Show.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Sure can.
Yeah. It was a kind of a same similar situation. My best friend, her and her boyfriend lived together. And for a few years, I mean, they weren't like her, like where it was like a couple months. They were like doing it for a few years. And then they got really, really religious. And they both decided to do it together.
Okay. If they both decided, then it's different. Yeah. If she comes to me after a couple of years and says, this is the new game plan, I'm just like, no.
Well, you were respected in the beginning, right? You wouldn't bounce immediately.
As I said,
now your shallow meter is.
That I don't care.
Okay,
call it whatever you want.
All right.
If we're doing it for that many years, and then she comes to me and says we're not doing this again for a couple of years,
I get it.
I have to seriously reconsider the relationship, because I do.
Physical is very important to you. I get that,
and it's not just physical. I think in a lot of ways, I think. Women just assume that dudes are horny. So they just want to have sex all the time. But I do think that for me, that is a way to show affection and love.
Mm-hmm. It's your love language.
It is, physical, for certain.
Mm-hmm.
But if she said no, I'd be like, do I get a vote in this? Because this is not going to work for me.
I would love to see your face with a woman telling you that. That one eye would start twitching.
Yeah, you wouldn't see my face because I'd be walking out the door.
The back of his head. Yeah.
I could not do it. Me and my girl are never going to church.
Cassie, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning. Good morning. So glad to talk to you guys. My situation is a little different where my now husband, we've been together 20 years. We had been dating and living together for 4 years and having lots of playing the piano. And when he asked me to marry him, he is the one who said, you know, I really think it would be great if we wait 6 months to play the piano again. And then on our honeymoon, we get physical. So it was his idea, and it was a very intense 6 months, we'll say that. but the honeymoon rocked.
I bet.
So think about that, though, like the anticipation and the build and then the release. Would you be willing to do that?
Nope.
No.
6 months?
Nope.
I don't understand it.
It was probably worth it. Worth it. And 20 years of marriage would tell you that it worked out well for
you. Yeah. For sure. And I'm glad you did what you guys did and you came to that conclusion together. But it sounds to me like most of these have a religious connection or some religious guilt involved. So I've never lived that kind of world. So this wouldn't work for me at all.
Yeah, I don't connect to it.
No.
Couldn't do it at all. Sorry.
But you're engaged, right? You propose, she says yes. And she's like, or he was the one that suggested this. He says, let's go 6 months without doing it and we'll do it on. Are you going to break off the engagement and break up with the person and not marry them because they want to go 6 months without having sex because they want to do it on the wedding night?
Maybe. I see it like when you get to the Super Bowl. Don't change what got you there.
This is The Burt Show.
First things first, I relearned a valuable lesson yesterday. Don't stress out about things until they are right in front of you. Right in front of you. Wasn't it Will Smith that we played a video like years ago that when he was going skydiving, he was so stressed out for days before. And then he realized he had this epiphany that why get stressed out 3 days, 4 days before? That's not going to do you any good. Yeah, get stressed out right before you jump out of the plane. That's a pretty good time to be stressed, but 4 days, just a waste of time.
And you did all that stressing, and it wasn't even as stressful as you thought when you finally did it.
Nothing.
Yep.
Right? The doctor didn't put his finger up my butt yesterday. I'm good to go.
You did this last time with your fecal test, and it wasn't even a fecal test.
Right. I get myself so worked up, so I was supposed to have a physical yesterday.
You're very protective of your butt.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't like butt stuff.
You should be.
That's for sure.
I think I told you guys before. Why?
Yes, you right? did. Do you know why, Abby?
No.
Oh, Abby doesn't know why.
I don't need to know. We can move on.
That's cool. I would rather not tell that again.
Mo and I know. Abby needs to know.
Why don't you tell the story?
I don't want to tell the story.
So when I was much, much younger.
Is this something you should tell your therapist, not me?
We've already. Okay. Yeah, I've shown her. when I was much, much younger, I was born with kind of a abnormally small bungy. So
it's real tight.
Yeah, it's real tight and real small. So my parents used to have to like Vaseline their fingers and stuff, and I had to do enemas, and it was just a real thing. I don't remember much from back then, but I can still remember my mom bringing in like an enema bag and me just going, oh no. So I've always been a little sensitive about the booty area. So that's why I was freaking out that I had to go to the doctor yesterday. And when you get to a certain age, you got to do that prostate thing. And my doctor is a tall, lean man with tall, lean fingers.
Slender man.
Yes. So I walked into the office yesterday and I know it's time for it to happen because when you walk into the office, if that is part of the exam, the assistants, I guess, put out the gel that the doctor is going to use, also the gloves. I don't know, flashlight, jaws of life, whatever's back there.
It's like that at the gyno office. When you walk in, and the duck bill's sitting there and the lube is sitting there and like everything's sitting there.
Same.
The little it's all right there on the little table.
Yeah.
Right next to the, like where you're laying.
And you know it. You know it's coming.
So I open up that door, and none of that stuff was on, like, the table. And I'm like, oh, they probably forgot. This is awesome. All right? I'll just do a self-check later.
Get a little selfie stick.
Hey, just a little late, y'all. Email. Just want to let you know, because you guys forgot I did the check, and everything's fine. But as he's going through the exam, and he's checking, like, my throat and my ears, I'm still stressed out. Like, he's going to have this epiphany, like, oh, it's butt time. And he and he verbally said to me, okay, so you did this check last year, so we don't have to do it this year. We'll do it again next year. And I'm like, wait, what did you say? Uh-huh. And he's like, ah, we don't got to do that this year. And I'm like, oh, what a relief. What a total relief. So no finger up the butt yesterday.
Yay!
Congrats. Yes.
So the lesson here is don't stress until the finger is in your butt.
Oh,
I like
that. Hey, is that re-virginization of your butt?
I've bought a year is all I'll say. Bought a year. All right, rough transition here. This was just downright depressing, man. And I want answers from women. So the article title is Why 50% of Women Regret Marrying Their Husbands.
That's a harsh,
right?
That's a lot.
Now, I guess when you mesh that with the divorce rate, I guess it's not that uncommon.
It adds up.
50% of women regret marrying their husbands. Now, we can use the voice disguiser for this if you want to jump on it. 1-855-BIRCHELL. The subtitle is, if you feel like getting married was actually a mistake, you're far from alone. So there's a whole bunch of women surveyed by, forget about the source, AOL Living and Women's Day magazine. I didn't even know AOL was still around.
I didn't know it was still living.
All right. some of the statistics, you guys, man, it really makes me want to do sort of a deep dive with you guys and go, what are the dudes doing wrong? What is wrong in the relationship that so many women are so unhappy?
Why is it going to be the dudes? Maybe it's the women.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Let's pick it apart.
You liked that, didn't you, Mo?
I did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
72% said they've considered leaving their marriage at some point or another. 72%. More than half of the women surveyed said they're either bored in bed or can't remember the last time they had sex.
Ooh.
Wow.
Can't remember the last time.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you perked up after that statistic. I thought you had something to add.
I'm just listening.
Okay, you remember the date.
No, not the date.
The year?
The year.
Yeah, 2023.
Hey, same.
Yeah, I mean, still. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the 11th, right. Approximately 60% rarely or never have date nights. That was a problem with you and Bart for a while.
Yes.
Right?
We're changing that.
A fact that we can't help but think that this might be contributing to lackluster sex lives. More than 50% wish their husbands either made more money or made more time for them. Nearly half said their husbands have changed for the worse since getting married.
Ooh.
There are the statistics to chew on. So
that's
what's
neat.
Going on, you guys?
Well, so 70% of women initiate divorces. When it comes to divorce, 70% are done by women. And the reasons that are commonly given, too, are they feel held back. They take on more of the emotional load and more work around the house. And in fact, married women have more housework than single mothers. So married women without kids have, they were, and once a woman gets married, it adds about 7 hours a week worth of work onto their plates. So I think what we're having is they get married and then they're like, this is not advantageous to me. It's holding me back in my career. It's, I've got extra emotional work. I've got extra house labor and I don't want it.
So if I'm a guy, one of the four guys that listen to this show and I'm hearing what you're saying, if you take some of that load off of your wife, then, I mean, this seems pretty obvious, then what you're saying is you're going to have a way happier wife.
Absolutely. And I mean, obviously, this is not a blanket statement. It depends on your relationship. But I think, you know, this is something I struggled with my husband for many years. And he just did not, it's not for lack of trying or that he didn't want to be an equal partner. He just didn't see the workload because it was invisible. And once he became attuned to it, he started doing more and it made our lives so much better.
So here we're going to call her Amy, being brave and calling in, but she's going to be on the voice disguiser. And she regrets getting married to her husband. Hey, Amy.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Okay, so you are currently married, but you regret getting married or getting married to this guy?
I regret getting married to my current husband, yes.
For what reason? At one point, you were very excited about it. On your wedding day, this is going to be the guy. So what has happened?
Yeah. So I will say that we ended up getting married about 10 months after we had our son. And I think we just really rushed into things. And we didn't know each other very well. And I think we're just really incompatible. And I think after, you know, 7-8 years and we have 3 more kids, we just have nothing in common. Mm-hmm. And we are better friends than we are, I think, a married couple. And it's unfortunate. I think we are good parents together, but we really find it hard to spend time together, like to make the time together. And it's like we have to force that. And it's just, on both ends, I feel like it's hard, and I feel like he's miserable sometimes, and I don't know. It's just, I feel like he would be happier with somebody else, and I don't want anybody else. I just want to be with my kids, but sometimes I'm like, maybe this was a mistake. Maybe we should have waited instead of jumping into a marriage after our first kid.
Sure.
Yeah, I feel like you're either going to grow together or you're going to grow apart. And I mean, I think that's why the divorce rate is what it is.
If you know, Cassie added what she thought might be part of the reason. If you had to say, like, in looking at friend group or women in general, what would be the one adjustment dudes should make if they want to have a happier wife?
Well, I think it's the growing together, because I'm not the same person I was 17 years ago when my husband and I first started dating. And you have to be able to evolve with that person and how they're changing. And you have to accept how they're changing and hopefully like how they're changing, because you're supposed to evolve. And I think for women, the older you get, the more confident you get and the more you stand up for yourself and the more you speak your truth, etc. And I think for some men that can be off-putting.
So what I'm hearing is, if this is on women, that if you just stop evolving, everything will be fine.
Yes.
But you're making the mistake of evolving and growing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
it's on you guys.
We just need to shut STFU.
It's the first show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bird Show.
I think when you're in your early 20s, when you are considering making a decision that is super risky or playing it safe, 95% of the time, I would advise take the risk.
Do it.
Do it. So our producer, Mikey, Messy Mikey, is here, and he is wondering if he should play it safe or not. And without even hearing what the entire scenario is, I don't care. Do it. Too young to play it safe. What do you got?
You got that right.
It's like the segment's over.
So me and the old lady are thinking about skipping the country for a month or so.
Guys, on the run?
Yeah, we're on the run.
On the run.
This is my last semester of college. We're thinking of doing a study abroad somewhere after this semester is over.
It's fantastic.
We've narrowed down the choices to probably either Paris, France.
Oui, oui.
Or
Paris or France.
No, he meant Paris, Texas.
Paris, France.
Paris, Kentucky.
We're going to Paris, Texas. Or
Paris, France.
Paris, France. Or Cape Town, South Africa.
Whoa.
What do you know a thing or two about?
Yeah, I just got back.
So
those are your two options that you're debating.
That's right.
Very exciting.
And I'd like a little bit of advice on which one to choose.
Okay, so it's not should we go or not. It's which of the two to go to.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, this is totally different.
So for the first time ever, I am qualified to answer a question on air here because I did study abroad when I was in college. And I would say pick Paris. And here's why. I studied abroad for a summer in Barcelona. And the coolest part about my experience is it's so cheap to travel to different parts of Europe and that side of the world because you're already over there. I mean, half the battle is getting over there and flying places. If you go to Cape Town, South Africa, you might be a little bit more limited as to where else you can travel and see the world. Whereas if you're in Paris, you can take that train to London. You can go to Scotland. You can go to Greece. It's so much closer.
Let me just give a counterpoint to that real quick, Cass. Well, I think everything you're saying is valid. From a guy that just got back from Cape Town, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, I do think that you'll have more opportunities when you're older to make a trip to Europe than you will to South Africa and the countries in Africa. And if you're already there for school, going to like Namibia or Swaziland when it's accessible to you is probably more doable when you're in a program like this than when you get older.
But is it a study abroad or like you graduate after this semester? So is this just you guys traveling post-graduation?
So my girlfriend needs a credit, okay. But I want none of the study. I want the abroad. I'm okay. Looking to just get out there.
Okay.
Wait, the Olympics are also in Paris this summer.
Well, what do you know?
Oh, look at that. That's okay. True. All right.
Okay, well, that might sway me. I was going to say almost the same thing as Bert. The chances of when you get older, having enough time once you have a full-time job to make a trip to South Africa are slim. A lot of people go to Europe. They'll backpack around Europe. And I mean, my family is from the UK and it is beautiful and I love it. And I studied French as well. And I've been to Paris. I love that area. But my sister actually lived in Cape Town and Joburg for a while in South Africa. Loves it. Plenty of travel opportunities. So
cheap, very cheap.
Yeah, I would say. And here's the other thing. While the culture in Europe is obviously different from culture in America, I think you'll find a bigger culture shift with South Africa. Mm-hmm. And that is something fantastic to experience. And getting out of your comfort zone while you're young, it gets harder to do as you get older. Even if you have that mentality and you want to do it, making yourself do it is tough. I would go on the bigger, grander adventure, which is South Africa.
Gotcha. See, I'm a little bit nervous about going to Paris because I just hope that me and the French get along.
You won't.
I've never met a Frenchman who liked me. And so that worries me. I think that we're two completely different people. They like croissants and floppy little hats. I like Big Macs and Merle Haggard.
Cassie, just because I want to hear it, because we do, I love your voice and I love your dialect. Cassie, please give him a short sentence to say in French.
Say, je m'appelle Mikey.
Je m'appelle Mikey.
Go to Africa, bro. It's Italian.
Go to Africa. Go to Africa. Yes, Mikey. Don't worry about it. Go to Cape Town, Mikey.
Wait, give me another. Give me another.
I'm stuttering now. I cannot think of anything on the spot.
¿Dónde está el baño?
Okay, that's Spanish.
No. Okay. Où est la toilette?
Où est la toilette?
Ratatouille.
Où est... Où est le toilette?
Le toilette.
Où est le toilette?
Mikey might be worse than me.
Everything sounds Italian.
The thing you got to remember about Parisians is they're very much like New Yorkers. Like, you can't take it personally.
Worse.
That's just how they... That's how they operate. That's how they flow, man.
Yeah, my time there, I would definitely tell you to go to Cape Town. Paris was cool, you know? I'll go to Cape Town.
I do think there's something to be said about going that far because the opportunities to leave and go that far, they just, like Cassie said, they shrink as you get older, man. But what a privileged position to be in, though.
I know. I'm a privileged fella.
Two great places, man. So what's going to be the deciding factor?
Probably the lady.
Yeah.
You know what you should do?
What?
Study abroad in South Africa, but route through Paris. So after the study abroad is done, take another month and backpack around Europe.
Then now there's an idea.
There you go.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I have this rule I have in dating called the 90-day free trial period, where within the first 3 months, you pretty much know whether or not this is going to work out or not. Now,
I rephrase, it's the crazy crown.
The crazy crown comes
on. Crown comes on in 90 days.
Yeah, 90-day free trial, crazy crown, same thing. So there's a reality show out there called 90-Day Fiancé, which takes this to a whole other level because there's people out there dating people from foreign countries, and so they decide to go on this reality show where they use a special visa that allows their fiancés to come to the U.S., and within that 90-day period, they have to decide whether or not this relationship is going to end in marriage, and it's highly entertaining. And there's this couple that was caught up with their spinoff show called 90 Day Diaries. Their names are Brandon and Julia. They're having some financial struggles. And Julia is telling her partner, Brandon, she's like, look, I can't hold down a job. The only job I can hold down is working at a strip club. I like to dance. I'm good at it. And I can make double what you make. So if you want us to be able to be financially stable, you just got to put up with it. And Brandon, as you can imagine, not good with this at all. So they're currently in a struggle where they have bought this home where they do not have the money to fix it up because she can't hold down a job. And so now her partner has to decide whether or not he's going to, I guess, allow her to work at a strip club or, I guess, sell the house.
Mo, would you be mature enough to allow your girl to work at a strip club? Would you endure? Would you say, yeah, go? You're my lady. I know who you're coming home to.
I would have to be deeply in love with her at that point to where I couldn't walk away and I would have to try to force myself to be secure enough to deal with it. But if I wasn't at that point, probably not.
I couldn't do it. Nope.
I don't think I could do it either.
No.
And to me, it feels like a cop out. Like, okay, it feels like easy money in a way. And I don't mean to discredit her love of dancing. This is something she really loves to do. But I do think the dynamic of the jobs that are more acceptable to do, they change when you get in a relationship.
I don't know what she looks like.
She's a cute gal.
Okay. I don't know how she dances, but to me, the opportunities to make just as much, if not more money on OnlyFans would be the same as it would be going to a strip club.
You would rather her do OnlyFans than dance at a strip club?
Yes.
That's you saying that because you haven't been on OnlyFans.
That's true.
But some of them things them women are doing, I don't know if you want that.
But if she's just going on there and she is doing the same thing that she would be doing in a strip club, but there are no creepy dudes around, they're just online, I would be way better than with that.
That lives on the internet forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas a strip club's more secretive. No cameras, typically.
Plus your friends, your family, everybody's probably going to know.
Yeah, that's good points.
I also feel like OnlyFans is a slippery slope. Like, okay, maybe you start dancing, but then what would it lead into? Mm-hmm. Would he be okay with it? So I totally see where he's coming from, and they just got to figure it out. All right, John Mayer says, despite his reputation, he really wants to get married. He went on his close friend Bob Saget's Widow's podcast, Comfort Food with Kelly Rizzo, and explained why he has a reliability kink.
People don't think I want to be married. I absolutely want to be married.
I know that, yeah.
You know the secret, which is that I'm actually fairly well-adjusted, and I so badly want to get married, if only for my wife to just know in her heart, like, John will know what to do. I just think that level of being relied on is the hottest thing in the world, like, to me. Like, it's like, if my husband was here, he would know what to do. Call John. Call my husband. I just think, and by the way,
you're a caretaker at heart. You're a caretaker.
You're a full grown up when this is your romantic fantasy. You're a fully fledged grown up.
Your kink is that you want somebody to be like, John's got a guy.
Reliance kink? Yeah. Oh my God. Dependability kink? Yes.
This is real
what he's saying.
Uh-huh. I do. I get it.
This is real growth from John Mayer because I've only ever known him as an F-boy. But, I mean, reading this interview and watching some of the clips, he said he's been sober for 6 years. And
yeah, his F-boy antics, that was a while ago.
Yeah. That was kind of his brand, though. And he was saying really stupid things. Remember, wasn't it Jessica Simpson? He said that she was like a sexual apalm or something.
Napalm
or something, yeah.
So, I mean, and he made his way around Hollywood and dated every Jennifer that you could possibly imagine. But
I can't imagine there aren't, like, a whole bunch of dudes that would have gone the same route.
Yeah, but I feel like it's been a hot minute, and, like, he's
like most people do. He's grown, he's evolved, he's changed, and now he's dependability John.
And I can't imagine he's having a hard time finding women to date him because he's literally John Mayer, mm-hmm. and you walk into a club. So it makes you wonder, okay, well, if you do want to be married, why are you single?
Well, because I think there's also a level of, is she into me because I'm John Mayer, or does she really dig me?
And I, on top of that, I mean, if I'm being honest, there are a lot more women that I think men find dateable, but not exactly wife material.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
So if I have this right, there is a face that white people are making that is confusing black people. Do I have this right, Amber?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like a lot of our people of color listeners, I can't speak for people who aren't black, but I know I know my black behind has noticed, and it's been something that I've noticed since I was like a teenager. So if you come across what you would assume is a non-threatening white person.
A non-threatening white person. Yeah, and this is not an oxymoron?
No. Like, you guys are non-threatening. So I like that.
Amber said that to me for the first time at our Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been so flattered. She's like, Abby, you're such a non-threatening white person. And I'm like, thank you.
That's how
in
you
my defense,
mean,
I was a little lit. I was a little lit, you know.
Okay.
I am so curious. When you encounter a white person who you do not know, what distinguishes them from threatening and non-threatening?
Well, I was joking, but one of the main things is that they actually notice that you're breathing near them. They actually pay attention to your existence. That's cool. A first. And it's not a negative thing.
Because
there have been moments where I've been around some threatening white people, and they tend to clutch their purse harder, lock their door, pretend like they don't see me, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Like subtle stuff that a lot of black people have had to deal with. So there is a face that some of them make when you greet them. They say, hey, before I even do it, Mo, do you know the face?
The like confused, disgusted face?
That's exactly how I would describe it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, Katie, I don't know if you're on mic, but do you know the face? What were you going to say?
Of course I know the face. Remember, I showed you the face.
Exactly. We had to get it on air, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So here's the face. It will wave, and usually we get this. It's this. It's like a...
The pursed lips.
It's like
like a Mona Lisa smile.
Like a tight lip, tight wave.
Yeah.
This tight situation.
It's so weird because I don't get that type of from anyone else.
Is that after you say hi?
Yeah.
Okay,
or just a greeting of some sort.
I might be guilty of making this face, but I do it to white people as well. When I walk down the street, I'll be like, I'll do this. It's like a close-up smile and a brief nod like this.
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't always get the nod. Sometimes I just get the...
What it is for me is it's my way of being like, hey, I see you. You owe me nothing. We don't need to engage in conversation. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to, I've now opened the door. I'm acknowledging you as an equal and as a human being. I see you, but... We're going to go about our lives. It's very complicated in my head, but it's supposed to be like, and I do it to literally every race. It's a, hello, I am seeing you, but we don't need to talk.
It's like when you make eye contact, for some reason, you need to somehow like give a smile, like an improving. Like, we know we're not going to talk. It is hard to explain.
Yeah.
We know we're not going to talk, but it's kind of like hey.
It's your way of not being a D word. Like, I'm acknowledging you and seeing you, but I'm not in a position to have a conversation right now, but I don't want to blow you off and ghost you.
Right, and I don't expect you to have a conversation. We don't need to be besties, but I want you to know that I respect you as another human being, so I acknowledge your presence.
Yeah, that's usually the face I make in the hallway when I'm, like, going to go get coffee or something, and then someone says hey to me. It's like, hey, acknowledging you, but I really don't want to talk right now, so... Please ignore me.
You do make that thing.
I do make that thing.
I gotta tell you, I got the nice the translation there. So that's not on Google Translation. I ain't know what that was.
For me, it's like at the gym also, like when you're passing somebody and you lock eyes for just a second, there's like this acknowledgement. It's almost like that. It's just an acknowledgement.
It's a form of respect in a way.
Yeah.
Like almost like I respect your presence here and I'm not blowing you off.
Black people do not make this face to other black people.
No. If we do anything is... We do that.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I remember a comedian. I don't remember who it was, but they distinguished the difference in being black and acknowledging another black person than a white person, and it's usually opposite. Like, because typically, like, two black people, you go head up with a smile. Like, what up?
Yeah.
And then if you see a white person, you go head nod with a serious face.
Yeah.
And it's true. Yeah. It's like, I don't know why it's like that, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
All right, while we're on racial issues here, I might throw this one on over to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So... There is a high school sports star.
I'm so glad we're getting to this.
He is going to be attending, I think, West Virginia. I'm going to spell his name for you guys.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and every white sports anchor is just as nervous because this kid is going to be on a national stage playing for West Virginia, and he's really good. All right?
It's a real name, right?
Correct. It's a real, name. He's an internet sensation right now. He is a junior at Lawrenceburg High in Indiana. He's being recruited by a whole bunch of different schools. I think he made the commitment to West Virginia, but he's like won MVP honors in basketball and football. He's a great football player also. So he's going to, at some point or another, be on national TV, right?
Is he balling or shooting baskets?
He plays football and basketball, okay. But specifically, I think that he's a better football player, so he's going to be on the main stage.
Okay.
And white commentators are really nervous about this because his first name is Noah, and his last name is spelled, legit last name, K-N-I-G-G-A.
Bro, I'm not touching that, and I can. I'm still not touching that.
I mean, when you see it, obviously, it looks like it's pronunciated exactly how it's spelled. So black people ran with it.
I mean, we had an
absolute field day with it.
100%.
But Robert Griffin, former football player, actually interviewed the family, and it kind of took some of the sale out of it because it's actually pronounced Kanega.
Oh, the K ain't silent?
No.
No. Well, no, it's not, but it's not the other way.
Yeah.
It's Kanega.
Yeah.
But when you see it, you don't know that. So... Especially as a white, right? Kanega.
Kanega.
That's how you pronounce it.
It would have been way more fun.
I'm still not saying
Pat McAfee.
Way more
do
fun.
The interview than Robert Griffin III.
Because before the family did this interview, no one knew. So if you just see it, yes. Especially like sports commentators are not going to know that when they see his name on the paper.
No, sports commentators. I have a friend who is one, and they do their homework beforehand, and they have all the proper pronunciations for the names.
But,
so prior to any game. They would know it's Kanega.
I am willing to bet any amount of money, at least one of them is going to mess that up.
Can I tell you what happens?
I'm telling you.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen right now. As a white dude, you know how to pronounce the name, and you probably practice it in the mirror 55 times before you get on TV.
Kanega.
But then when you're in the game, you start panicking when you know that word is coming up, and then you confuse yourself in the head, and somebody is going to accidentally say it the wrong way.
It's going to happen. Oh, I 100% believe it's going to happen.
So here's the interview that...
They're going to be like, and so... Noah's got the ball.
Yeah, what's their family crest look like?
They should just put Noah on the back of his jersey.
They should.
It should just be Noah.
Just Noah.
What is the country of origin for that? Like, where does that hail from?
Is
that
he's
like,
a white dude. I don't know.
Could be South African, who knows?
No, it's like a white dude.
Yeah, I think they're just like American. I don't think it's anything to... The fact that his first name is Noah makes it even funnier.
This is Robert
like, do you know a Kanega?
This is Robert Griffin.
Yo, me too. I know one too.
You can't make this up, man.
As a white guy, can you say to the dude, my, and then his last name?
My Kanega.
I'm going to be saying that from now on.
I don't see why not. I mean, it's not the word. It's not the word.
Right, so this is a family talking to Robert Griffin III about it.
How do you pronunciate the last name?
Oh, so this is how you pronounce it. It's Noah Kanega. You say Kanega like that.
See, that's the key. It's Kanega.
There you go.
There you go. Now we're vibing. Now we're vibing a little bit.
All right, where is the Kanega from?
I don't make no sense.
You, the Kanega family name.
You better be careful.
I'm trying so hard.
You probably should email me this one.
Yeah, I'm sitting right next to you.
The
Chris.
Kanega family name was found in the USA between 1880 and 1920. The most Kanega families were found.
That's a bad time. That is a bad time.
It was found in the USA in 1920.
Oh,
in 1880, there was one Kanega living in Indiana. And Kanega is
from England.
So the Kanagas started multiplying.
Yes.
And it, before you know it, there were a whole bunch of Kanagas.
Yes. I can't wait to see his Facebook comments.
Man, I'm uncomfortable.
Is that what you're saying?
You need to leave.
Who is going to be the first sports commentator to mess this up,
I
man?
I can't wait.
Oh, man.
I've never wanted somebody to go pro more with this guy.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show Fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.